Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you're here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
Well, Lord, here we are continuing our retreat in this first day, Lord, in which we want to be with you, speak with you, listen to you. To find out as we meditated yesterday in our first meditation, what it is that we are here for in this world, that vocation, that calling. Sanctity, holiness, like our first fathers, when we go back to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, our Lord, we see him, God the Father, creating heaven and earth, the stars and the skies, the earth, the plants, the animals. But then he's looking for something that will make that creation perfect. And he creates man and woman at his own image and likeness, Adam and Eve. And he puts them there in the Garden of Eden to multiply, to rule over all of creation, to work the land, to make it more beautiful. To live in that very close relationship with God Himself. God comes down to the garden, he spends time with them, he talks to them. They have everything they need. Those preternatural gifts. They can do pretty much anything they want. Everything is there for them to enjoy. They are created free by God. And given that responsibility. But God tells them there is one thing they need to avoid, one thing that is out of bounds. Eating of the fruit, the tree. And unfortunately, it is a story of humanity, of every man and every woman. Temptation gets in the way. And the devil comes into the scene in the form of a serpent. And he begins that dialogue with Adam and Eve, especially, I guess, first with Eve. And that conversation, why can't you eat from this tree? What's wrong with the fruit of this tree? What is God hiding from you? Maybe he doesn't want you to be like him, to know the truth. And the woman falls into the trap, and then the man goes right after her, and they eat from the tree, from the forbidden fruit. They disobey God. And they hide. They are afraid. They realize that they've done something wrong. They have used their freedom in an irresponsible way. They have offended their Creator. And they hide, ashamed. How common is this? Unfortunately, from that moment on, we know that that original sin is going to affect our nature, is going to take away those preternatural gifts. And we'll leave in our nature that scar, that tendency toward evil. Offending God, doing what is not right, knowing what our calling is, because we all know it, that calling to sanctity, that calling to be a loving husband, a good caring father, a good professional, sanctifying our work, an apostle, to change the world to something better by being ourselves better. We know that. We've told ourselves this many times. But within ourselves, there is that tendency. Which shouldn't surprise us. It is part of what we need to deal with. Saint José María tells us we cannot forget. We have within us a source of opposition and resistance to grace. We carry the wounds of original sin, heightened perhaps by our personal sins. My child, your desires for sanctity will be opposed first by laziness, the first front on which you must fight. Then rebelliousness, the refusal to shoulder Christ's sweet yoke, a mad longing not for freedom but for license, and sensuality, and at all times, pride. Finally, there is a whole string of evil inclinations, because our weaknesses never come alone. Those passions, those temptations, those inclinations toward evil that we all have inside of us, that oppose your grace, Lord. How many times, Jesus, have we made that resolution to love you, to do the right thing? How many times, Lord, have we tried to put you as the priority in our lives? And how many times have we failed giving in to laziness, to sensuality? Offending you with our sin. Unfortunately, this is part of who we are. But God is such a loving Father that in spite of all our weaknesses, in spite of all our failings, in spite of all the times that we have offended Him and that we keep offending Him, He's always giving us another chance. He's always giving us more opportunities. He's always willing to forgive us, to take us in His arms and clean us and put a ring on our finger. Our Lord Jesus Himself shows us with that beautiful parable that He left for us, the parable of the prodigal son. Telling us what it is that we need to do. That young man we know very well, who takes his inheritance and goes to a faraway country and wastes all his money, living in a very bad way, doing all the wrong things. And then once he's wasted all his money, ends up working with pigs, hungry, full of misery, knowing what he's given up, knowing what he's wasted. The consequences of sin that we experience so many times, Lord, being away from You. Following those temptations, those cravings, thinking that they will make us happy, that they will fulfill all our desires, and then finding ourselves abandoned, empty, full of bitterness. And then the devil, that is smart in his evil ways, he puts that second temptation in our heart, just like he put that second temptation for Adam and Eve. He made them realize that they were naked. After they had sinned, he makes them feel ashamed. They had failed. They had offended their Creator. And they hide. They hide from the only one that can help them, that can save them, that can make them well again. The devil will put that temptation in our hearts to hide from God. You have failed once again. You have been weak. You don't deserve this friendship with God. You don't deserve His love. Hide from Him. Cinco San Maria would call this the dumb devil. It would take that from one of those possess the men in the gospel. This devil that had taken possession over this man and had made him mute and dumb. He couldn't speak. He couldn't ask for the graces that he needed. He couldn't go to Jesus, asking him for forgiveness, asking him for another chance. The devil will put that temptation in our hearts. But Jesus tells us over and over again, come back. Come looking for mercy. And he gives us that beautiful parable of the prodigal son so that we can know exactly what it is that we need to do. Not hide. Not stay in our misery. Not run away from God. And on the contrary, to go back to Jesus. To go back looking for God, for that Father that is waiting for us with his arms wide open. That Father that is looking for us, sending us the graces that we need to go back. And once he sees that we're going back through confession, through prayer, through repentance, he will come out running to take us back, to wash us clean, to receive us with so much joy. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your love. And help me, Lord. Give me the grace so that I can always come back to you. Hopefully, so that I can never offend you. At least gravely. Because we hate sin. Because we hate to offend you, and we don't want to offend you. But there's this thing in our nature, there's this weakness within us that keeps making us fall, that keeps making us offend you. Hopefully, Lord, with your grace, we will be able to resist and say no to those temptations. But Lord, if I fail, if I fall, help me come back. Help me get up from my misery. And like that prodigal son, to realize that you will be willing to take me back, to give me another opportunity. Sanctity is not about being perfect. Sanctity is not about never failing. We see it in the parable of the prodigal son. We see it in the life of the saints. We see it in the apostles themselves. We see it very clearly in that contrast between those two apostles, Simon Peter and Judas, the traitor. They had both been chosen by God. They had both been called by their names. They had both followed Jesus and become apostles. But then both of them, in their weakness, had betrayed Jesus. They had abandoned him. One of them, Judas, selling him for a few coins. The other, Simon, denying him 3 times. They both failed Jesus. They both sinned. But then the big difference was in the way they reacted. One of them, Judas, in desperation, he realized that he had done something bad. He realized that he had done something very bad. But instead of going back to Jesus, instead of looking for his forgiveness, which he would have found, if he would have only returned to Christ, if he would have only repented, he would have found mercy. And maybe now we would be speaking of Saint Judas Iscariot, the traitor who repented. But he did not. He was not able to come back. And he ends up taking his own life. What a contrast with Peter, Simon, who had also betrayed Jesus, denying him 3 times publicly. He's aware of his failing. He's aware of his fault. And he had promised a few moments before that he would die with Jesus if that was necessary. And now there he was, abandoning his promise, denying his master, leaving him to his death. But Peter doesn't give in to desperation. He doesn't give in to that temptation of the devil. He goes back full of repentance, and he asks for forgiveness, and he receives that forgiveness. And then it is Jesus himself who will come looking for him and will ask him, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times he will ask him. "Of course I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. In spite of my failings, in spite of my faults, in spite of my many times giving in to temptation, to weakness. I love you, Lord, and I want to fight against that temptation, against those weaknesses. I want to be a saint." Well, God is giving us another opportunity, and he will give us as many opportunities as we need. And we can be saints in spite of our weaknesses. It's been proven by Simon Peter, the rock over which Christ built his church. It's been proven by the saints. We just need to fight. We just need to put ourselves in the hands of God and say, "Lord, I need your help." Because I have a sinful nature. Because I am weak. But I want to be strong. I want to be better. Give me your grace, Lord. The danger for Christians is not sin. The danger for Christians is lukewarmness. Not fighting. Not going back. Repentant is getting comfortable in sin. It's kind of accepting our condition and saying, well, yeah, it's nothing I can do. I guess it's okay. I'm not such a bad guy, after all. There's worse people out there, right? I haven't killed anybody, I haven't. God, I don't want to give in to lukewarmness. I want to love you as you deserve to be loved. I want to give myself generously as you are calling me. I want to be a saint. What a good time is the retreat to look deep into our hearts, to see if there is any lukewarmness in there, to see if we're becoming comfortable in sin, in weakness, in laziness, if we're maybe not going back quick, fast enough to God through confession, through repentance, through examination of conscience. Lord, I don't want to be comfortable. I want to put up a fight, a good fight, guided by your grace and your love. Help me, Lord. Help me see all those things that I need to change, all those resolutions that I need to make, knowing that probably I will fail many times. Knowing that probably I will go back with my good resolutions and my desires, and I will find myself weak, giving in. It doesn't matter. God will help me. I just need to keep fighting. To keep coming back. Like the prodigal son, day after day. And hopefully, Lord, with your grace, I will be able to fight off temptation and stay away from sin. Give us that grace, Lord, because I want to love you, because I don't want to offend you anymore. If I ever do, Lord, give me the grace to come back. Let us ask our mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We can imagine that she must have been key in Peter's coming back. Can imagine the Virgin Mary talking to Peter. Telling him not to worry. Telling him to go to Jesus in his prayer and asking for forgiveness. Mother, help us to go back again and again. To get back into the fight. Over and over again, beginning every single time, knowing that God will help us, knowing that God will guide us, knowing that God will forgive us and give us the grace to keep fighting. Thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Holy Mary, our hope, seed of wisdom, pray for us. living room.